me. Ooh-wee, it's me. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit, so y'all gotta, like, you know, encourage me the whole way
long. You know, encourage me the whole way long. Y'all, what's poppin'? It's Nestor Rodriguez, your host, NPR. You know, we're going far. We're going far, like way far. Yeah, we're like broadcasting live via iTunes by the time you download this, via weplayradio.com, the new collective of various shows and hosts for your listening pleasure. Yeah, so my show is usually Thursday nights, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Sometimes it's 8 to 9 p.m. Just checking in. Go to weplayradio.com and check out the show. Come to the page, subscribe to the show. Takes you right to iTunes, and tell your friends about it. And before I begin the show, I want you to, if you haven't done so already, go to my Nestorius Public Radio Facebook page. And if you take a screen grab of a review that you write on iTunes on my show of 5 stars and post that screen grab on my Facebook Nestorius Public Radio page, I will send you a t-shirt, okay? That's something new. I'm trying to get my reviews up. All right? So with that, big up, motherfuckers. Yo, so tonight we're going to start right up with a good, really good friend of mine, Alexis Sanchez. Hello, welcome to Nestorius Public Radio.
Hi, thanks for having me.
So I've been wanting to get you on the show for a while to discuss transgender issues. I've had a show. I did a show a few months back with a couple. One, I think they were both stand-up comedians. My old co-host Sal knew them, and so it was an interesting relationship that they had. He's Asian. Well, biologically he's Asian, and he's a he. I'm just bear with me here.
Yeah.
And she, it's weird when you're in a transitional period. He's identifying as a woman, right?
Yeah.
She identifies as a lesbian. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just a very interesting dynamic. So we were just talking about, you know, transgender issues and also the different types of like sexual identities. And she was, for instance, she was telling me that there were like hundreds, like, you know, like, and I was kind of like perplexed by all that, right? I mean, I don't know how much or how little of that stuff you know.
It's kind of funny, you know, I spend a lot of time just kind of exploring the community. Mm-hmm. And I've been to the LA LGBT Center. Mm-hmm. Like when I did an intake there, they make you fill out all this paperwork. Mm-hmm. And even like under gender identity and preference, there's so many boxes that I didn't even know what they meant. I didn't even know.
Right, the different types of genders is what I meant. Yeah, I said sexual preferences, gender is what I meant.
You know, I feel like humanity really is a spectrum. And I think that everyone falls somewhere on there, you know, whether it's like masculine to feminine, somewhere in between. And mm-hmm. then, you know, sexuality can be its own different thing. It's kind of like a separate thing, mm-hmm. what you're attracted to and mm-hmm. who you kind of partner up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's fascinating for me to talk about because my particular experience is mine. It's kind of like if you were kind of talking about the experience of like, let's say Puerto Ricans, right? Mm-hmm, depending mm-hmm. on how...
And I can talk a lot about my experience with Puerto Ricans, but...
No, but you know, like depending on where you grew up and like where, what your family life was like and like what you're into and like it ends up being like kind of a small thread that runs underneath you as a whole, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Sometimes you'll find things that overlap and like all Puerto Ricans will kind of have the things and then sometimes
people are.
And trans is very much like that, you know? Like I have met... When I first started to transition, I sought out a lot of other trans individuals just to kind of see like where I fit on the spectrum, what I kind of wanted to do, whether I wanted to go through with transition or not. Mm-hmm. I found people who had done it. So, mm-hmm. And I found that the narratives are so wide, you mm-hmm. know, just from person to person. Like it's just so, it's fascinating. It's really, really
fascinating. Yeah. It, I mean, It's so fascinating. Well, first of all, biologically, you were born a male.
Yeah.
And so just to clarify, you're transitioning from that physical aspect into a physical aspect of a woman.
Yeah.
Which is what you identify with, right?
Yeah. I was assigned male at birth. Mm-hmm. And then I've always kind of identified with, like, I've always had kind of like a feminine personality. Mm-hmm. And I always identified with that. Now where I'm at in my life, I kind of have started to move towards, physically transitioning. Mm-hmm. There's so many different aspects of transition. Some people like transition socially, which is, you don't take hormones, you don't do anything, and you just kind of like present as a woman, or like sometimes it's
what do you mean, like just dress as a woman?
Yeah. And then some people are like part-time, full-time. And my story has been...
That's hilarious.
It's a whole thing.
Hi, what do you do for a living? Well, actually, I'm a part-time woman, but most of the day I work as an executive at E.F. Hutton.
You would be surprised.
I know.
You
would be surprised. Dude, it's like in 2015, 2016, right? It's like nothing should surprise anyone. Nothing at this point. The fact that there are things out there that surprise people, and there are things out there, right? Every day there's something new that you go, I can't believe somebody would do something like that. But in terms of being open-minded about humanity, right? At this point, it's like, it's almost impossible to believe that someone like can't understand certain things. But I get it. Not everybody, when I say can't understand something, like can't buy it, right? Can't accept it, right? Yeah. Understanding something is a matter of being interested in it and wanting to find out about it, right?
So
it's an interesting thing for me, because like I met you as a male, right? And you know, we're a part of circle, we are a part of a circle of friends, and I believe I was one of the first people that you talked to about your, you know, embarking on this journey.
Yeah, you were one of the first people that I came out to within that circle of people, right? Mutual friends and stuff.
Is wild to me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's wild because to me, I mean, I understood your I guess, I don't know that fear would be the right thing, but a little fear of being judged or something, yeah?
Yeah, of course. I mean, there was fear.
Oh, shit. Hold on a second. I just bugged out here.
No worries.
I'm sorry.
You know, there was like fear of myself, fear of judgment of by everyone. You know, trans is kind of a marginalized community. Mm-hmm. It's not exactly like what, you know, it's, I don't know. For so many years, I just didn't want to look into transition, do anything transition related, because it was scary to me. So like even coming out to someone like you, who I know is accepting, you know, like grew up in New York City. I know that there was
I'm a liberal. I'm liberal minded. But I do have conservative views. So, I mean, regardless, it's you know, coming out to anybody.
Yeah.
Right?
It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying.
Yeah.
But I was at a point in my life where... Oh, I'm getting over a cold and I'm still kind of, but I was at a point in my life where I couldn't keep living like a false life. Mm-hmm. It really was like, I was just at a point in my life where I absolutely had to move forward with mm-hmm. this thing. Because I was miserable. I tried to live as a guy for like 27 years and it just didn't work. Even in my early 20s, like I had some success like in music and art, and I had some success with other things, but all of it was empty. Like all my relationships were empty. Everything was empty because it just wasn't who I was and it wasn't genuine. And it just kind of was like, there was, I think like a life that like revolves around secrets and stuff like that can never like, it can never be truly, it'll never be full because there's always like this disconnect, you know?
Right. Yeah, no, I mean, listen, if there's any reservation, right, from anyone who doesn't understand that a person can be born biologically a certain way, right, and really not identify with that, and be incarcerated, so to speak, right? Like blocked, like shut down, right?
Yeah.
Is my experience, and I know if I just confused everybody there by that long ass intro analogy, whatever you want to call it, but if there's any doubt, here's my testimony. Okay, everyone that I have known, male that don't identify as male and identify as women, and women who have identified as male and have, you know, transitioned or are transitioning as males, it's wild because, and you're a perfect example, right? Because when I met you, you seemed shut down.
Yeah, I was okay. A total shell of myself.
You were fucking like, shut down.
Yeah.
And I know that you went as far as you could go as that.
Yep.
You did.
Pretty much.
You did. You went as far as you can go. And then it was almost as if not all the lights were out, but like whatever lights were there were dim.
Yeah.
You
totally.
Know?
100%.
And when I remember when you told me, you know, that you were planning on transitioning, and what'd you think if you told, you know, our friends, yada, yada, yada. I remember after that, I remember you slowly, it's bizarre. It's almost like slowly the dim lights start getting brighter. Okay. To the point where now, like, I don't see that person in you. You know what I mean? I see this beautiful, full of life, vivacious, high-spirited person. So it's fucking bizarre. It's like night and day, right?
The person was always there, I think. Like, when I think back to my early childhood, mm-hmm. like, a lot of who I am right now, I can see some of myself when I was a kid, I was like this lively person who was super social. And then as society like started to put me into a box and like all that stuff started going on, like I tampered down who I was and tampered down, and it got just pushed down and pushed down and pushed down and pushed down. And then once I finally, so, you know, like I come out to everybody and I start to find my way, and there's still that awkward like growth period. Mm. But, you know, I've been transitioned and out and like full time for almost a year now. And mm-hmm. like now that I've really come into myself, like I'm just like so comfortable. And it really is like a lot to me. It feels like that joyous little like 6-year old just mm-hmm. is me.
It's
like,
just awakened.
Yeah, pretty much.
Interesting. Interesting. So I say that because I've seen, for instance, okay, Chaz Bono, for instance. Okay. I've seen the documentary, but I've also met her. Okay. Met him. And it's the same thing. It's the same thing, right? So until the point that he was fully himself, right?
Yeah.
The lights were slightly dimmed, man. It's fucking bizarre. And so if there's any fucking doubt, right? I'm saying this to anybody out there. Most of the people who listen to my show, for the most part, I'm assuming are liberal and open-minded and whatever, because you have to be to listen to my shit. but I'm speaking to those that might listen to this and don't believe it or have a doubt. I'm saying this because I've seen this, you know what I mean? And I've experienced it, and it's the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you know? I've seen it. You know, now that I'm comfortable, and I still try and do a lot of work in the community just mm-hmm. to kind of like keep myself grounded mm-hmm. and help people through the same struggles that I went through,
sure,
you know?
Sure.
And you really do see it. Like people just come to life, and they're like these people when you first meet most trans individuals when they're still closeted. It's just like they are like very shut down. It's mm-hmm. like there's like big old walls in mm-hmm. front, and they are just like kind of going through the motions. And mm-hmm. if they do find themselves and like fully come out and get comfortable in who they are, like, oh man, some of the trans men and women that I've met are like just amazing people. Because mm-hmm. and it was always there. It's just like you have to get through the stuff.
Sure,
like,
sure. So let's go back to, you said when you were little.
Yeah.
So you were a happy little boy, and up until a certain point, where you became aware of what you're supposed to be, and inside, that's not who you are.
Yeah. It's, you know, like all my memories are really fuzzy growing up, but I grew up with my two cousins. I have
both guys.
No, it's a girl and a boy. Mm-hmm. The boy cousin's like 3 years older than me and the girl cousin is like a year and a half older than me. Mm-hmm. And we all, you know, like we grew up in the valley together and we just, you know, our parents would babysit us and like we were always together. And I just always really remember identifying with the stuff that my girl cousin did. These are my earliest memories, just like wanting to do the kitchen stuff and play with the makeup and like just kind of like, I even remember like having, I have like fuzzy memories of telling her like, I just wish I was a girl or like something uh-huh. like that, something along the lines of that. And when that was probably when I was like 2 to 5 or something
really?
Like that, like really, 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 really young.
2 to 5?
Yeah. Like as long, like these are really deep seated early memories that I can remember where I was like, I just kind of feel like this feels more right than this, you know, like playing with her stuff feels more right than playing with my cousins, like riding the bikes and being rough and tumble. Like that uh-huh. was always like, uh-huh. Not kind of my deal. Uh-huh. But you know, just kind of growing up, especially like my dad was like very, very old school and like very homophobic and very just like, so like I just,
he's a Latino, right?
Yeah, exactly. He's your typical like super macho Latino guy.
By the way,
like,
what's your background? You're
my parents are Salvadorian.
El Salvador. Yeah. Salvadorian. Okay.
So, yeah, growing up, I always got that message that like, no, that's not right. No, you're not supposed
to do
that.
You don't fucking cry.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, exactly. You don't cry. You don't show your emotions. Yeah, like, yeah, you have to be, like, this macho, manly man.
Sure, sure.
And anything falling short of that just isn't, like, what we
Something's
do.
Something's fucking wrong with you if.
So, mm-hmm. like, I start to, you know, like, success. And then, like, that carries over into school, too. You know, like, the message that you get, like, oh, like, you know, why can't you kick the ball hard? Why do you like doing the girl stuff? Why can't, you know, like, all this stuff that's just, like...
You know, that's funny. I'm laughing, right? Because that's fucked up. But it's the truth, and it's funny. Okay. You know me for a few years, right?
Yeah.
Now, I always think about this to ask people, like you know, I'm a nice guy, right? I'm not an asshole, bully, blah blah blah. But some people might perceive me as, you know, a little hard edge or whatever, right?
Yeah.
And I get it. It's just my personality, right? But I got picked on as a kid, right? I was telling this to a friend yesterday, and he was like, not you. You don't hit the ball hard enough. You're fucking gay. You don't fucking hit the ball. Like if you can't play baseball, you're fucking gay.
Yeah.
Okay? It's this thing in Latinos, you know what I mean? Like you brush your fucking you brush your fingernails, you're gay. You fucking do your laundry. Just all this shit.
It's the way kids tease each other. Yeah. But there was something to be said even in that teasing because like, yeah, I got called gay and femme. I got called gay as a kid and I knew what gay was and I knew that's not what I was. I was like, I even remember like having that disconnect when I was an adolescent already and being like, if the issue was that I was attracted to guys as myself, like this issue would be solved because then I'd just go date guys and it would be no big deal, but that's not what's going on.
Right, right.
So like, there's just this level of like, what is it? What is it? What's gonna like...
Really? Yeah. So how do you know, because up until a certain point, if you weren't straight, you were gay. Yeah, right. Most people are just like, you're gay.
That's all you learn. So of course you associate it and like.
So okay.
I don't know. Like it's interesting, like the way that the mind tries to process, like at least for me growing up and like having these dynamics and being like, well, I'm not attracted to guys. Like I don't really want to like go out and date guys. I like dating girls, but I don't know. Like
Interesting.
In adolescence, I didn't know if I was attracted to the girl because she was attractive or I was attracted to the girl because I wanted to be the girl. Because I wanted to have, I dated like very, very feminine girls because like I just wanted, like I liked being around that. I liked just because like, I could live vicariously.
You
like
the femininity that they
had.
Yeah,
I could just live vicariously through them and be like, oh, hey, like this is, this will do, I guess.
That's interesting. So as a young boy, 3 to 5, you're saying, because that's I want to get back to that. It's a very interesting point. So you're identifying with wanting to be something other than you're not physically, right? Sexually, yeah.
It's more like the world is telling me I should be masculine, and I'm like, but that's not who I am, kind of deal. Like, I feel more in line, and I don't understand, like, why I can't.
And so that dictates that it's not just about dating guys. This is something deeper. It's like, I don't feel like, even if you dated guys, you probably wanted to, you know, still felt awkward being who you were, right? Yeah. So that's another question, right? So had you or were you ever attracted to guys? Was that something that ever came into your head? Or
it didn't really like come into play until when I was a horny teenager. Like it all, like I was like, maybe, but not really, you know?
Right.
My whole relationship with like sex and everything is like very, very complex just because like I'm not a fan of, how crass can I be on
you? You can be as crass as you want. You can be.
Okay. Well, I'll try and keep it kind of like.
You don't have to.
I'm not a fan of my genitals. And I always had like this weird, like, that's not what should be there. Like disconnects. So when it came to sex and anything like that, I just kind of couldn't do it. Like,
interesting.
Okay. So here's a story to kind of like, just kind of. Okay, so when I was 15, I was dating this girl. She was a cheerleader. She was gorgeous. We're still good friends to this day. But we started getting like more intimate and more physical. And it was looking like sex was going to happen like sooner than later, you know? Because like
hold on.
We're like 15.
Hold on, sex was going to happen. Hold on. Give me a second. All right. Give me a second. Sex was gonna happen.
And cue the ominous music. Yeah. So like these machinations started because like I couldn't explain it. I wanted to go through with this and I liked making out with her, but whenever she went close to my genitals, like I would get like panic attacks and anxiety and I was just like, I can't do this. And I would just shut down.
Wow.
So I ended up cheating on her with an older girl because I was like trying to say like, I was like, okay, so how am I going to get out of this? Like how, because if I break up with her, all my friends, they're going to say like, I'm gay or like, and then they'll be on to me. They'll be on to me. So I just, I went on a date with a girl from like the senior, I was a sophomore and I went on a date with a girl from the senior class. So that way I was a hero, you know, and I knew nothing was going to happen with that girl. So I was like, okay.
It was like an out plan.
Yeah, totally.
An escape plan.
Like no one will doubt me. Everyone will think I'm a hero. Like, and I get out of this scot-free. And then that was great. It worked for a couple months until like she wanted to get more physical. And I was like, oh shit, I need another out. It was fine.
I got to go to the nursing home. I'm going to date an older woman.
Well, check this out. So I start to, you know, like she ends up graduating, takes care of itself. And then
the older one.
The senior girl. So then like I found the perfect plan. Like I was like kind of like dating, pursuing this Mormon girl. And I kind of pursued her the rest of my high school career. And it was perfect because like I could get the romantic elements of dating someone. And I knew she wasn't going to go near it. I knew she wasn't even going to try to touch it. And that's perfect for me.
Right.
So that just kind of gives a little window into like even at that age.
The mechanics of it.
Yeah. It's like, okay, so I know like, I'm trying to figure out like in that early adolescent period, just trying to figure out like where I fit on the span of things. And I know I'm not a gay guy. Like it doesn't feel right. That's not what I'm pursuing.
Right.
And I'm like, well, and then the dialogue that goes on in the back of my mind is like, am I with these girls because like I'm attracted to them? Am I with these girls because I wish I was more like them?
Right.
Am I with these then? Like what happens? Yeah. And it's just a total mind fuck. Like it was a lot. Needless to say, I started doing drugs at a very young age.
Right.
Like that's like
why not?
Way too much.
Why not? With.
And I don't know. I didn't really pursue after high school. Like I just kind of really didn't date. I was a musician and like my band did really well. And I found my next out, which was I just drank a lot. And like I'd get all sorts of female attention, but it was perfect because I'd just get like blackout drunk and pass out. And
so
like,
you don't know whatever happened, you're not responsible.
Exactly. It's like, oh no, he just falls asleep. That's what he does. Like he gets really drunk and he falls asleep after shows. And like it's kind of known. Like okay, party animal. And again, I have an out where I don't have to like address. I don't have to talk about this. And like every now and again, I get into a sticky situation where it's like, oh shit, this is gonna happen. And I kind of have to try and do that. Like.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like, I've still to this day have yet to have sex that isn't in like a blackout, just because like that whole relationship is so convoluted and mm-hmm, so painful mm-hmm. and brings up so.
Well, it
much
makes trouble. Sense. It makes sense. It makes a lot of sense. I mean, I've never, you know, well, you've never told me any of this, right? But I've never heard this. Is what I'm. Yeah. I mean, you know, A plus B. I've never heard anything like this yeah. before. I mean, the closest. I have an understanding of something like this. I have a friend, Edwin, a gay guy, a gay male, really good friend of mine. I knew him from when I used to do massive quantities of, you know, powdered goods.
Gotcha.
His aunt used to be like the powdered goods dealer. And so Edwin, you know, he was whatever. And I also met him through a social I knew him way back when, and then I got reintroduced to him again later on. In a similar circumstances where yeah, yeah. you and I met, and he was fucked up. He was fucked up completely. And I'm like, wait a minute, I know you, man. And he's like, yeah, and we just like we add one and one and two. Yeah, Ida was my ex-girlfriend, blah blah blah. And anyway, so he and I start helping him out on his road to getting his shit together.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, he discloses to me that he has a daughter. So he went as far as, you know, having a woman, like dating women. Because, you know, yeah. you grew up in a Latino neighborhood. It's, you know, we're talking about probably the late 70s, 80s. You're going to get your ass kicked. And also then there's the, you know, depending on who, if you have a brother or a cousin, it's rough. Yeah. It's fucking rough. And so he, you know, that was one of the most profound things I had. I mean, it's not unique. It's not new. I mean, it's happened many, many, many times throughout the history of mankind. But I just thought, wow, for the first time I said, fuck, that somebody would have to or feel they had to go through that all the way to like deny who they were, right?
Well, I feel like even like in my own experience, I had 25 or 27 years of like butting my head against the wall and trying to do the thing that I was told by society that I had. I tried to be like this assigned male, you know, I was assigned male at birth. So like I tried to be this male that everybody pulled, like just kind of was building me up to be. And I tried it as long as I could until mm-hmm. I just couldn't anymore. Mm-hmm. And the wheels fucking came off the wagon. And yeah. it was like, okay, I'm either going to transition or die now. Cause
right.
that so I think like a lot of people, like that's a similar thing. Like I hear that narrative, especially being active in like LGBT circles. I hear it all the time. Like whenever I hear like someone's gay, they have kids, it's like it really was, and I can identify with that. It was a period, like because there was periods in my life where I was just trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then there's like that whole other aspect of like trying to blend in with society. Like mm-hmm. I just want to go and like try and find happiness without like getting my ass kicked every day, without getting harassed on the street, without getting, you know, like.
I'd like to, I mean, so how is that? How is that?
It's okay. So
do you get harassed?
Not,
I mean, Latino, I mean, there's some ignorant motherfuckers out there. Yeah. I mean, and some insensitive people, right?
Yeah.
Not just towards trans people, gay people, whatever. I mean, there's fucking people who are just ignorant.
Yeah, they're just bigots.
Yeah, and like bigots. But I mean, last night I was walking down here, and literally, if you walk down here, there's different levels of homelessness, right? Yeah. There's homelessness that, you know, you're homeless. There's homelessness where you haven't bathed. There's homelessness where you talk to flies. There's homelessness where, you know, you don't need a cell phone because you have an imaginary fucking unlimited connection to whatever cell phone service provider. There's all sorts of types down here. And, you know, we went out to eat. I give this guy some food. And as I give this guy food, I said, would you like a bag? He goes, yeah. You know, God knows when this guy was like, he had a coating of black on him. Okay. And God knows no one would even talk to this guy. Right. But as I give him the food, we walk a couple of steps towards the corner, and there's this fucking guy. He goes, hey, she wants to kiss you. Like, you know, he's with this girl. He's drunk. Motherfucker has no teeth, by the way. No, he's missing all his teeth. Just to show you, people are just insensitive. They don't yeah. care. And so how is that? I mean, I'm just curious how it is for you. It has to be, you know, I mean, as from when, okay, so when you came out, it must have been towards the end of 2014.
Because
I remember you spent Christmas, a little bit of Christmas that year with us.
Yeah.
And so it's over a year. It's a year and a couple of months, a year and a few months, right? Like 2 or 3 months.
I think like New Year's Eve of 2014 going into 2015 was like the last day where I was like, after that was like the cutoff for me. And I'm like,
where you made your decision.
I was like, all right, I'm going to start this new year. And like 2015 is going to be like, it's just going to be Alexis from here on out.
Got it.
And yeah, I don't know, like as far as harassment and stuff, like as a trans woman, like you get the worst of both worlds because you get the harassment, you get accosted, you get the catcalls that like normal cisgendered women get. And then you get like another level of like harassment, like when people can tell you're trans. And it's this interesting thing that like there's not a lot of trans female activists because okay, so when I was early in transition and like I just kind of, let's say I didn't have my fashion and my makeup and like my stuff figured out and I didn't blend into the general populace as easy, I would get accosted a lot more, like a lot more. Like I couldn't make it like, you know, just like the typical cat calls. And then as far as like people throwing stuff and like just
really?
Kind of, yeah.
So when you say you didn't have your makeup and your outfit and all that other stuff down or figured out yet. Meaning like you decided you want to fully commit New Year's Eve of 2014, 2015. And then you start little by little, maybe painting your nails, maybe wearing more feminine clothing.
Yeah.
And so you're saying that during that period, it was worse than it is now.
Oh yeah. 100%.
So why?
I think because it's a period, like at least for me, where I was visibly different and like people don't like anything that's different, you know, like, so the more I stand out, the more of a target I am for harassment. Mm-hmm. That's just kind of like the way that I experienced it, you know, like that might not be for everybody, but that was my personal experience. Mm-hmm. Like just when I was in that weird androgynous kind of like, just kind of like weird andro adolescence, that like most trans women go through when they're starting to transition.
Then you got more harassed then?
Oh yeah.
Totally. Really?
Now
in fucking LA?
Hey.
Unbelievable.
You know, because again, it's like I get that normal level of like harassment that women get. And then like there's an extra level on top of it just because like I'm visibly trans or different, or when I'm andro, people like just kind of assume I'm a gay boy. So I get like the harassment on that level.
From gay guys?
No, from
straight guys.
From straight guys, yeah.
Yeah.
So
gay guys are a hell of a lot more sensitive. I mean, it's almost like these guys are born like fucking loving and sensitive towards anybody who's different. Yeah. Not really.
Generally speaking, I think within any community, there's like, even within like the LGBT community, you have the bigots and the racists. And
really?
Like yeah. I mean, it's.
No, I know. No. Listen. I used to work for an electrician. Okay. I mean, I was an electrician and I worked for this gay guy. This really eccentric guy. And he was Andrew Wargo was his name? Andrew, some shit like that. Really weird, reclusive dude. He owned a brownstone on 30-something Street in Manhattan. Really, really rich part of town. Apparently, his lover died and left him all that shit. Every single floor was full of shit. Just like crap. And anyway, we had a conversation, and I remember him saying, those fucking faggots, what the fuck do they think on Gay Pride Day? They shouldn't be marching. And I'm like, Andrew, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, that's how he spoke, right?
Yeah.
And he was like, if you're a homosexual, you should keep that to yourself. You should. So I was thinking, I was like, what are you talking about, Andrew? This is an opportunity for people who feel and who are a certain way to be accepted for who they are. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah.
It was just bizarre to me.
You know, like there's racists and bigots within every
everything. Yeah.
But yeah, it's a fascinating thing. So like as I start to move in, and I feel like getting back to like, there's not a lot of trans female activists for this reason, because as a trans, especially if you're a trans woman of color, like you are, I don't really like to put it this way, but it's the best way to put it. It's, you know, like society kind of operates in tiers, and like that's like the, you know, like that. It's a marginalized community, like more so than almost any other one. So like if you're a trans woman of color, especially, there is a line where a lot of trans women, there's a point where you're visibly trans, but if you continue to like just work on your aesthetic, like I myself, where I'm at now, like I'm at a point where like I don't really stand out and I'm not really remarkable until like maybe if you get to know me and somebody says like, oh, she's trans, like then like the wheels start to click. But oftentimes people like just on the street, like even right now while I was waiting to get up, you know, like I just kind of blended into the background.
Right.
I just like looked like any other girl like waiting outside a club or whatever.
Right.
And that serves to protect me. That serves to protect me from harassment because like I'm not remarkable. I don't really stand out in that aspect, so I blend into the rest of the populace. And that, and I think that's why there's, at least as I've seen it, like that's, I think that's why there's not a lot of trans female activists, because like this is
because you don't want to stand out, you're saying.
Like,
you want to just like be a normal woman and just fit in. Yeah. You don't want to make a big deal.
Exactly.
That's what you're
like,
saying.
I don't want to be a target for like hatred and violence and bigots and like all that
stuff.
But
don't you think Caitlyn Jenner is an activist for trans women?
Yeah.
Of sorts?
Okay, of sorts. Yes and no. I mean, a lot of the struggles that like trans women go through, I have more respect for Laverne Cox.
Right.
Than
I was going to ask you about her.
Yeah. For Caitlyn Jenner, just because Caitlyn Jenner like has like all the money and the cushion of celebrityhood to where she doesn't have to go through the marginalization.
Right.
There's people like, there's this woman named Drian Juarez who works for the LGBT Center, and she's like this activist and she's like this amazing individual. And like, I have, like, that's the type of role model I look up to, because like, she came from nothing. She came from like, you know, like a not a wealthy background and had to go through the trials and tribulations of transitioning
right.
in society.
She's a trans woman?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
I get it. So it's almost like, you know, there's a road that as a trans person, you have to trudge, right? To get to that whole place.
Not.
Whereas like a person like Caitlyn Jenner, she didn't have to do shit. She just says, oh, yeah. And then you notice that she's changing from Bruce to Caitlyn. And then she finally comes out one day and she's like, my name is Caitlyn. Then she has the cover of Vanity Fair, and then it's on.
Yeah, I just think, you know, like it's one of those things that it's not a great role model, because that isn't going to be almost anybody else's
experience.
The story
for everybody, right.
I mean, I do have friends who like they came from privileged backgrounds and they can, like I have one friend who she's a lovely person. I love her to death, but our experiences are different because like she grew up in Oregon, which is a little more progressive, and like her parents are super accepting, so like she doesn't have all the internalized stuff that I do. Mm-hmm. And then she her parents have money, so she can get like the right. She can get the nose job. She can get like.
So she was accepted.
Yeah,
from a very early age.
She just didn't have to go through a lot of the same struggles I did. That doesn't make her narrative more or less valid than mine. But I think like
role model,
I will. Yeah, I think like my narrative might be able to help a certain demographic more, because like it encompasses more struggles. You know?
I think though that each of those examples can serve as a role model
and as
an activist if they choose to, because trans people are not one mold. Everyone has a different experience and everyone has a different way of coming to who they are, right?
Yeah,
be it, you're a celebrity and, you know, whatever you say, you get flowered with all sorts of endorsements from left and right, to someone who comes from a liberal background and their parents might, you know, say, it's all right if you don't know who you are, and it's okay. So you never had that. She never had that pressure of that, whereas you did. You know, from being the way you grew up. Which brings me to a situation that a couple of weeks ago, a friend of mine was on my show, and after that, we took the train up. We were just bullshitting, and I was talking about you because you know, I told him you were going to be on the show. And you met him. He met you. I think you know who he is. I'll tell you who he is after the show, because I don't want to. I don't want to blow his cover, because he told me about something. And the reason I'm saying that is because he told me about a friend of his. All right, that is a musical partner of his. Right, and they have a little boy. Okay, and his wife. Okay, his friend's wife and his friend, ex-friend, I should say, have a little boy. The little boy gets a Cinderella dress at maybe two or three or something to that effect, is attracted to a Cinderella dress. I don't know how. Maybe it was Halloween, whatever. So the little boy, that's all the little boy wants to wear is the Cinderella dress. And he may be four, right? So the kid's mom at that age decides to buy him girls' clothes. And I'm probably paraphrasing, right? And change his name, gives him a female name, right? And my boy's ex-friend, the father of the little boy, who is being allowed to dress as a girl and now is given a girl's name, my boy is like, I don't know. I think that's fucked up, right? And he's a liberal guy. This guy's liberal. I mean, as liberal as they're going to come, you know. And so there are things like that I go and I question. I'm like, that's fucked up. I mean, but then again, I don't know, right?
I mean, that brings up the question of like, how young is too young to transition, right? So I, like I shared earlier in the show, like I knew like way when I was young, and who knows how my story would have turned out had I been born to parents that were just like, okay, let her wear what she wants to wear. Let her call herself whatever the hell she wants, right? Instead of being born to parents, you know, like I personally had to go through 27 years of like knocking my head against the wall before, sure, I was like, okay, that's not going to work. Let's, sure, try this instead. But I see stories about people transitioning younger and younger. And then sometimes I'm filled with envy because here's the thing. Like, if you're going to pursue physical transition, which is like hormones and like doing stuff like that, you get better results and your body is affected. It's like the less testosterone you have in your system or like the less estrogen you have in your system, like the more...
It's more effective and it takes a lot easier at a younger age.
Yeah, it's just a lot easier to transition at a younger age, just like on your body.
But what happens to this kid, right? Let's say this kid wakes up at 13, right? And he's not fucking a trans person.
Yeah.
And he was just fucking going through a phase of like, you know, tiddlywinks and whatever, right? Now my man's got a fucking different name. I'm just saying, you know, yeah. Don't you think that it should be up to the individual? And at that age, you really don't have the experience, I should say, with life to say that that's what you want. You know what I mean?
I definitely like, and I'm a proponent. You know, I didn't start hormones. When I came out, I still hadn't started hormones. Right. I had to be sure that that was something I wanted.
Right.
And even like, I recommend that people, like, I don't think anyone should really start. And I don't think most doctors will even prescribe it until the individual's 18 and like has had that life experience. Cause like, that's kind of like, there's no going back from that.
So that's kind of contradictory, right? So you like hormone therapy would work if you're young, but most doctors won't prescribe it until you're of some sort of consenting age.
Yeah. Totally.
There's a reason for that.
And I mean, it's a tough decision. It's a big decision and it's weighty. But I think each individual can kind of gauge their, I don't really know. I only know my experience, you know?
No, and I know. Like, I know. There's no right or wrong answers. It's just that like as a parent, right?
Yeah.
As a Latino man,
yeah,
the way I grew up, yeah, right? It's fucking difficult to cry, let alone fucking, if I had a kid, you know, to be able to say, come on. You know, if the kid is 18 years old and, you know, he wants to be a woman or whatever, or 16, I wouldn't say 18, you know, yeah, you'll know around 13, 10, yeah, 11, yeah, but fucking four or five, I'd be like, wow, that's, you know, that's a little extreme, but maybe it's not.
I think like, and it's neat that society is progressing to the point where it's just kind of like, I don't know. It doesn't have to be an end all be all, you know, it's just, right, like, okay, like maybe it's a phase, maybe it's not, but we don't have to accost them for it. Like, let them figure out what it is they want.
Right. Right. You don't want to, I don't know. It was just a weird thing. The other thing is this, right? I mean, I've been researching and looking at all this type of stuff because, you know, it's become the thing, right? Yeah. Like if you're a trans actor and you're in a trans movie, let's say you're a trans director, that shit's going to get propelled to the front, right? So therefore, and I'm being kind of loose with that, but there's some truth to it. Yeah. It's like, oh, wow, check that out. So this is not a gimmick for you. This is your life.
This is my life.
This is your life. Yeah. This is not a gimmick.
Yeah.
And so I feel sometimes, and I think this is what you may have been alluding to with Jenner, that there's a lot of gimmicky shit that goes on, right? And so that takes away from the validity of the struggle that trans people have to go through.
It's as any, you know, like when anything, I don't know, it trans is the hot thing in Hollywood.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm
everywhere.
Saying.
Everywhere.
And it's not fucking hot. It's a real life thing.
Even, you know, like the Danish girl, like it's,
yeah.
It's,
yeah.
And that. So
did you watch that, by the way?
Yes, I did.
Did you like it?
It was okay. I thought the characters could have had a little more depth and weight, but for like the time given, like it wasn't bad. I cried.
I haven't watched it yet.
I cried.
Because it's one of those things, fuck, not another trans movie. Yeah. It's just this thing. It's like, you know, it becomes this like, it. This works. This is going to sell. Let's keep doing it. You know what I mean?
I think that you got to the heart of it. Like, it's like really we have to remember that we're individuals. Like even myself, like there is, you know, like we haven't even scratched the surface of like the life experience that led to, and like the fears and like all the stuff that just lies underneath them that kind of led to me being the person I am. And that's with every single trans individual.
Yeah.
So I like that, like at least it's being broached, and I like that it's not being painted as like a sexual thing, because it's not at all. It is more just like it's about people finding who they are, which is a very broad. I think that's why it's kind of hot in Hollywood, because like it's a very broad human, like a lot of people can relate to that. Maybe, you know, like it's not as extreme with most people. Like
you mean identity, just like struggling to find who you are.
You know? Some people think they're a skater and then they get into like rap stuff. Thought I was a guy, and then I was like, no, that isn't working.
Well, I mean, that'd be a good thing if we could have that dialogue like pulled back, right?
Yeah.
To encompass the real issue underneath, that we all struggle with identity. That's the thing, right? Yeah. Like, who are you? Who am I? Right? Why do I have to be defined by this or that? Which is the main issue.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, the rest is hormone therapy, dressing a certain way, whatever, right? Like, who gives a fuck who you are, what you look? It's like, who do you identify as?
Yeah.
Which is, you know, when you don't have the support, when society says you're either this or you're that. So where are you? It's like, I'm neither. I feel that way with politics. You know what I mean? I do. It's just like, I'm not fucking Democrat or Republican. And I talk to people about certain things, and then it becomes like, oh, you're Republican. Oh, you're Democrat. It's just like people cannot be individual thinkers in modern day society.
You know, like it's sometimes we just try and like reduce things for the sake of communicating them faster. But, I think with like the trans narrative, my friend put it the best, like recently, like he said something, and every now and again, somebody says something, said that this is like a cis white male, you know, like he like is privileged, whatever, love him to death, great guy.
This is what we were talking about in that other thing, a cisgender and all these different genders. And I was like, what the fuck are you talking about?
This is the opposite of trans. It's just someone who identifies with like their.
Yeah. Yeah.
But so this guy, we were talking and he says to me, he's like, trans people for me showed me that the soul exists, because like it is something that like the soul just doesn't match up with like what's on the outside. And that's what causes that big disconnect and all this pain. And like that just floored me, because it really was like, it's like we are like these individuals inside, like it's for me, like you know, I'm a spiritual person. It's like we carry this soul, like this energy, whoever we are, and then we kind of decorate the outside to like kind of fit that, you know. Like it's like, oh, I have a car, I'm gonna pimp out my car to suit myself. It's like, I have a body, I'm gonna dress myself like, or I'm gonna like just adjust the things to reflect who I am. am inside. And right. I think for trans individuals, it's like, at least for me, it was like getting over those disconnects because it was so different, the soul that I carried around inside than the body I had. So it was like, well, where do we go from here?
Yeah. So we have about 5 minutes left for the show, and I want to ask you a couple of questions relating to two socio-political issues that came up within the legal issue within the legal arena. But I also wanted to ask you, when we talked earlier, you said you were going to group and then you had just come out of group. Mm-hmm. And so that's a transitioning group that you go to, a support group.
It's a trans process group. So it's run by two facilitators who are social workers, I don't know. But mm-hmm. basically they run it. And then it's a group of trans women, male to female or female identified pretty much, that are in different places. And we just kind of like get to like causes and conditions of what's going on. And everybody's got very different, very, very different narratives. We're at different places in our transition. It's neat. It's neat for the fact that I can go and see like there's other trans people and mm-hmm. they have the same stuff mm-hmm. as me, or they don't. Yeah, mm-hmm. like.
So it's kind of like a support group, but it's also a place where you can identify with other people that are coming from the same place as you and are trying to get to the same place where you're trying to get to.
Kind of. It's just like they don't like to call it a support group because instead okay. of trying to be there like, oh, it's going to be okay, listening. Yeah. We try. That group was like the reason that I started, I went full time because like I was sitting across from another woman and she's like, well, why don't you dress more often? Why don't you try? And then like, you know, like that's something you wouldn't say in a support group because it's directly confrontational. But in that group, like
right.
I can like look at it and be like, why don't I try? Because I don't want to be rejected and blah, 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 blah. And I can work through the feelings and
emotions. Yeah.
So it's kind of a neat space. I like it.
Well, I mean, I'll just say this before I get into, you know, the end of the show here. When you first told me and you asked if it was okay, if whatever, whatever, if you announced to our friends or whatever, I thought, fuck, man, that's one of the bravest things anybody could do. Seriously. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how I would, you know, I often ask myself questions like, how would I react in that circumstance, whether it's a movie or what, you know, something like that. And that right there is something that is what, I mean, you're either brave, you find the fucking, the strength to do that, or you die.
Yeah.
Or you kill yourself. Because that's crazy. You know what I mean? Meaning carrying that and not being able to do something with it. So anyway, I just felt you were very brave and congratulations on choosing to become who you are, who you're meant to be, who you are inside. And I know that when you made the decision, I know you had a few people like your mom and other people maybe have had like doubts or like, what are you doing? And are you sure you want to, is this what you want to do? And so what do you do with that? Right. Like, yeah.
I mean, I try and give everyone a timeline. Like, okay, so my mom only ever knew me as like, just kind of like a fuck up and like alcoholic and depressive and like smoking a bunch of pot and like just crazy and just like, and then she saw me at the end of my alcoholism. And then when I finally got sober, like that was like the linchpin. It's like, okay, so I couldn't stop drinking and this is why, and now I'm going to transition. And like, even she was reserved at first, like, oh, are you sure? But as she's seen me, just kind of grow and blossom into myself and seeing that like the world didn't end and like I'm not rejected by society and I have a wealth of friends and life is really great. She's really come around. And
now she's supportive.
Yeah.
Now she has a young woman to go shopping with her.
We're not that far yet.
Not that close?
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday.
Yeah.
All right. So what I wanted to ask you is, so I don't know if you're familiar with this. There was a case in California where a transgendered male to woman convict, a murderer, was doing, I think 20, well, put it this way, she did 28 years of her sentence. I'm not sure what the whole thing was, but she sued the state of California claiming that the penal system, the jails and whatever the hell she was in, the state of California needed to pay for her sexual reassignment surgery. So this big fucking case. There were two of them actually, and both of them happened to be murderers. The first one was, what's her name? Noseworthy. I don't know if you know any of this that I'm talking about, but it's very interesting. Her name was Noseworthy. What the fuck is her first name? There we go. Michelle Lael Noseworthy. So she did 28 years. And what's interesting about this case is that she sued the penal system, and a judge upheld that it's a medical condition and that the state of California had to pay for her sexual reassignment surgery.
IGRS.
And which is, in my opinion, I think is preposterous, because it's like, you're a fucking convict. You went into the penal system as a man, you murdered another man, and it's just like, now you have rights. But that's another story. The point with this one was that Jerry Brown, the governor, get this, I think like 6 months before she would have had the sexual reassignment surgery, he gave her parole. So he released her. He was like, fuck you, I'm not paying for your sexual reassignment surgery. So, I mean, they couldn't get around it, right? Yeah. So, but I just think it's a case like this. I think a case like this kind of like takes back the hard work that people do to bring you know, transgendered issues into the social consciousness of America.
Yeah.
And I'm just curious what you thought about that.
I mean, at the end of the day, we're talking about someone who's a murderer, so they're kind of a selfish person to begin with. So, like, that's why that... I mean, it's tough for me to form an opinion because right. I've never been in the penal system, and I don't really know, and I... Right. Like, it's like...
Right.
Even when you were describing it to me, I don't know what kind of faces I made, but I was just like, okay, like, I don't know enough about the issue. I don't know enough about that stuff. And I personally don't want surgery. So like, I have no...
Well, let me ask you this. So there's two of them. The other one is Shilo Queen, Q-U-I-N-E. I guess you pronounce that Queen or Quine. I don't know. I'll show you the articles. They're very interesting. And this is something that was going on for a while. But I'll tell you this. I mean, on some level, right? I know this is going to be a weird thing to ask it, but if you're a murderer, okay, and you're in fucking jail doing 20 to life, I think your fucking rights or whatever your rights are should be minimal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I don't.
You don't necessarily think that's true.
I don't like to trudge into this territory because, like, I just don't like.
Got it.
I know people. I've never been locked up.
Yeah. You don't have to. I get it. It's just something that I've wanted to ask somebody a trans person. I've asked another person. No, it never came up. I don't want to ask a fucking heterosexual male or woman. I'm just curious as to what, but I get it. We'll accept your not wanting to participate in this type of dialogue. As okay. So we're wrapping our show. That was a great show. Our time flew. Do you have a Facebook page or any kind of page that you may want to put out there in case somebody's interested, and you never know?
I should really work on like my web presence. I really just got back into the social media sphere. Like, I literally put Instagram on my phone like 3 days ago or like a week ago or something. Mm-hmm. And then I put Facebook, like my Facebook was deactivated until I was far along in my transition. And now I'm at the point where I'm like trying to get that along. So mm-hmm. if you ever have me back, I'll probably have all that information good and ready. But as of now, it's all just kind of
it's
like
all in, weird. Yeah. Okay. Well, cool. Well, if there are any trans people in Los Angeles that are confused and don't know where to go, what to go, where is the LBGYN? LBGYN. I say LBGYN. That is so fucking retarded to me. Where is the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgendered community center?
So the LGBT center saved my life. Mm-hmm. And it's on 1625 North Schrader Avenue, which is off, it's right off of Hollywood, a block over from Wilcox. So like just a couple down from Cahuenga.
North Schrader. I like that street. That's not far from Amoeba Records.
No, not at all.
Yeah, it's right up the block from there.
But if you're like a lesbian, gay, bi, trans, asexual, inner, whatever, if you're even questioning and you have, and you just don't like, that place literally saved my life.
Right. There are those community centers everywhere.
All over, like most major cities have an LGBT center. Yeah. At least like, you know.
New York has a really good one.
Yeah.
Anyway, so yeah, I just in case any of my friends are or know anyone, you know, the point of this show was that you should find out who you truly are and investigate and trudge that road to become who you are meant to be. Okay. So check us out on Facebook, Nestorius Public Radio. Go to iTunes, subscribe to the show, download my episodes, and most importantly, go to weplayradio.com. Check out the rest of the shows, and it's easy to subscribe right from that website. All right? Peace.
Encouraged me the whole way along. Ow. I ain't doing nothing but talking shit. So y'all gotta...